Hello and welcome to a special Business Radio X production where we feature innovative leaders and difference makers in our communities. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Ryan McPherson. And before we introduce today's guest, let me remind you to connect with us on social media. The Business Radio X Network can be found on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. You can see what's going on in this studio, in all of our studios, and all of our shows across the network. So look for Business Radio X on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. All right, without further ado, let's introduce today's guest calling from Seattle, from Oasis Smart SIM, OEM Biz Development, Mr. Carl Weaver. How are you today, Carl?
I'm great. It's sunny out. It's not raining here in Seattle. We have the sun, so it's a great day. Good morning.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you would, sir, right out of the gate here, please share with our listeners what Oasis Smart SIM is doing for people.
Oasis Smart SIM is actually a French-owned, French-invested smart card manufacturer out of Singapore, manufacturing USIMs and also embedded SIMs. And my job has been to for a year now, has been to evangelize embedded SIM to various industry sectors, industrial, consumer, electronic device, and also the connected car sector, which is kind of a sector into its own. And my job has been to evangelize the design in of embedded SIM to, I've been going after the low-hanging fruit, which is smart watches. And they're mostly manufacturers in South Korea and China, South Korea, China, and Taiwan. So my job is to get the embedded SIM designed into the smartwatch manufacturers. And hence, I travel from Seattle. I am a China market specialist. I travel into Seattle from Seattle into Greater China. I have been doing that on a monthly or bi-monthly basis.
Well, that sounds exciting for sure. You're always ahead of that cutting-edge technology for sure. What are some of those resources that you turn to kind of see what's trending, the newest and the latest out there?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Where do you go to stay up to date on all the technology that's coming at us from all these different directions?
So the semiconductor industry and the smart card industry are really basically where I focus my energies. And what I like to do, I think this is really important from a business standpoint, a business perspective, is I continually absorb technologies and I continually try to deliver public speaking presentations locally, nationally, and also in China. I deliver my presentations in English in North America, but I deliver them in Mandarin Chinese in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan. And the key here is that technology changes so rapidly. So you have to keep in touch with all of these changes going on. Quite honestly, before I joined Oasis, I knew nothing about smartwatches. Fortunately, now I know a lot.
I bet you do. Do you own a smartwatch yourself?
This is a very good question because I recently started to cooperate with T-Mobile here in Bellevue, Washington, and I do have a smartwatch now, courtesy of Samsung and T-Mobile. I do have a smartwatch now, and I have the Samsung Gear S2, which is a great watch. The Gear S3 is now available, but the great thing about those things is it's a really great payment device, which is where I focus. And I will focus most of my energies explaining the importance of wearables.
Yeah, definitely mobile payment solutions are coming quicker than you think, ladies and gentlemen. And I know Carl is really dialed into that sector. Talk to us a little more about the workings between the United States and China. Since you've been doing it for so many years, you know, if someone who's thinking about, you know, doing some business overseas, what are some of those first steps?
Well, doing business in the Chinese world is only for the bravest of heart and the thickest of skin. It's in the technology space over the past let's say 5, 6, 7 years, you've seen a trend towards techno-nationalism and protectionism inside the country, and I think that you'll find people have a real difficult time with that. But the way that I overcame that in doing business in the Chinese world is I deliver my presentations in Mandarin. And then since everyone knows the Great Firewall exists, what I did is I uploaded my videos in Mandarin on the equivalent of YouTube inside of China. That's a website, a streaming video website called Youku. And, you know, anybody can get a subscription. All you need, you don't even need a local Chinese cell phone number or email. You can do it from the United States. So what I used to do is, what I do is give my presentations in Mandarin and I upload them inside the Great Firewall. Of course, you know, certain content they won't accept, but I'm mostly talking about technology. And so this is one of the ways that you can overcome the Great Firewall of China and the protectionism. Even though my intentions are always just to sell and improve the country by promoting mobile technologies, it's difficult because YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and anything from Google are completely banned in China. So therefore, I say, if you want to attempt to sell technology to China today, you need to use and harness the power of social media in an effective way because you want to reach those people. And this is just one way that I've used to do that.
Yes, you are very connected into social media. Carl Weaver is all over YouTube, as he mentioned, and he's on the YouTube equivalent there in China as well. And you're probably over all some of the other social media platforms as well. Who is that target audience, though, for your YouTube videos? Is it just the average consumer there, or is it some of those decision makers and some of these companies that could really use your innovative products?
It's the globe. I have people from the African continent, all over Asia, North America, and Europe looking at my videos. I don't just talk about technology. Sometimes I talk about the globalization of mobile technologies, how manufacturing is moving from China into India for smartphones. I talk about how you build a China biz tech career. How would somebody from Boston, I'm originally from Massachusetts, how does somebody from Boston, now transplanted to Seattle, obtain fluency in Mandarin Chinese and then understand so much about the Chinese and, of course, the Indian world, too? How do I do that? How do you do that? How do you begin doing that? I do lots of public speaking because I know that most people in the world can get access to YouTube. And I find that this is a very subtle but very effective approach to educate people about mobile technologies, how you can successfully sell to the Chinese world and also to the Indian world as well. And so I feel that this is the best venue for me and has been the best venue since I started to do this. And I started this in 2003 because I had such a niche career trying to explain that a Caucasian American can speak, read, and write Chinese and knows how to sell to the Chinese world. That's a difficult thing to explain. It's off the beaten track as far as careers go.
No, it does sound. It's very interesting. I bet one day you should sit down and write a book about all of this so people can really read and digest how you've cultivated such a unique career track for yourself. So you're fluent in Mandarin and Chinese. You've been speaking overseas and doing videos in that language. But you also mentioned that India is the next hot market. Are you going to be speaking Indian anytime soon?
Well, I was in India in 2016 on a very special subway transit ticketing program. And India is very, very cool because most people, when they hear about India, it's usually, oh, the infrastructure is so poor, this and that. India is on the roadmap for the next great place to invest technology, to transfer technology, and to produce consumer electronic devices. The only caveat there is that India does not have a stable semiconductor manufacturing ecosystem. Hence, the technology will still be coming from Taiwan, China, South Korea, and other parts of the world. But India, absolutely, for most CEOs, you know, I gave this presentation in 2006, believe it or not, called the Global Smartphone Revolution. And I predicted how China would be leading and then India would be following and how the two, China and India, even though that they're not necessarily the greatest of allies, how both countries have to work together. And now you can see it very clearly. The manufacturing from China in the smartphone sector is absolutely moving to India. And who's taking it there? It's Foxconn. Foxconn is a Taiwanese manufacturer. And of course, mainland Chinese companies are going there too. I say Americans need to have a 1-2 strategy. If you're in the mobile space, you need to have a 1-2 strategy of understanding China and India.
Do you ever foresee any of this production or any of these technologies coming back to the shores of America? Or are we just the some of the thought leaders kind of directing some of these initiatives and here
in America? I do see that possibility. The more these manufacturers overseas see the incentives, the tax incentives to come in North America, we still have a great market here for all kinds of consumer electronic items. Although we're not the largest market, actually China is largest market, and probably America is number two, and then comes India. But I do believe that manufacturing will come back to the United States in certain sectors if the right parameters are there. Let's hope that President Trump can put those parameters in place to bring those companies to manufacture back in the United States, because, you know, it's a fact. China is very expensive on the coast and coastal China to manufacture products. It's not any more expensive to manufacture in America, in America than China right now. And this is a real opportunity in the terms of globalization of technologies for America to vie and compete, bring some of that back. I think it can come back.
Oh, definitely. That's good to hear for sure. And it seems like you're right there at the hub for the bridge between the United States and China and beyond, and right there in Seattle. So, we hope here at Business Radio X to have our studio out there very soon. But if you could, for our listeners, particularly those here who have not been to Seattle, give us an idea. What's the culture like there, the business community like, and what are some of those advantages that Seattle has that we can all look to grow our city?
Well, Seattle has, when you drive on I-90 from any part of, well, when you drive on I-90 coming into the Seattle area, that's, you know, actually, believe it or not, I think I-90 starts in Boston and goes to Seattle, I believe. I'm not, mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. But when you drive into Seattle, there's a bridge, there's a tunnel that you come in, and it says Portal to the Pacific. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Seattle really is very, very welcoming to Asia, to the Pacific. It's very heavily Asian influenced. There's tons of investment coming in from Asia. Bill Gates has his house here, of course, and Paul Allen has major investments. He owns the Seahawks. I knew that this place would rise when I came here in 93 from Taiwan. I knew this place was going to be one of the next best places to live. And it has been, and it has an incredible quality of life, a very liberal news media. We have two major sports. It's a great place for investment. It's also cloud central. I mean, this is the place where everybody in the world comes to understand cloud technologies. But of course, it's also a software, it's heaven for software developers, programmers. There's all kinds of opportunity for software people and also startups. So it's focusing on startups. It's a software heaven. If I may have one complaint, it's that we don't really have enough hardware technology going on here, but then there's always hope for the future. But in terms of the quality of life, this is God's country in the summer. There probably is no better place to probably live in entire North America than Seattle in the summer, because it never really gets that cold here. It gets raw because of the rain. It doesn't snow very much. And in the summer, it doesn't get hot. Nobody has air conditioners here because it may reach 90 once or twice in the summertime. That's it, maximum. Otherwise, it's a typical 68, 70 degrees. Because we're along the Pacific coast.
That's fantastic. And Carl is with a company called Oasis Smart Sim. He's in the Seattle office, but he's traveling all over the world. And I believe your company has offices all over the world in different countries. What is that pain an organization or an individual is having that they need to then pick up the phone and call you or some of the other associates there at Oasis Smart Sim?
Well, actually, the smart card industry is not an American industry. So there's a lot of unawareness of the smart card world in North America, because these technologies are really the French, the Germans, and the Dutch. And hence, you'll find that the mobile payment and mobile device security technologies are really European technologies. They're not really American. Now, I am located here in the Woodinville, Washington State, Seattle region area. I jump shoot Asia all the time. I'm very welcome. I welcome to discuss mobile technologies and embedded SIM with everybody here. And I guess the key point is it's important that these are new technologies. Embedded SIM is a new technology that really, really has not quite reached North American shores yet in a big way and hasn't scaled yet. But in 2017, it is going to scale because the GSMA has a program to scale, three-phase program to scale this technology. First was M2M for connected cars. The next is consumer electronic devices, smartwatches, tablets, and smartphones. You're going to see that this year. We're going to see that evolve. And then finally, enterprise. I welcome all kinds of communication. I have lots of videos on YouTube. I am very, very welcoming to chat with people about embedded SIM, this GSMA remote SIM provisioning program, and also wearable smart watches, because I believe that smart watches have been given a bad rap. People feel that smart watches have no real utility, and I think they're totally wrong. I think a standalone smartwatch is the wave of the future. I believe it's an IoT device. I believe it's a mobile payment device, and it's getting a bad rap because it's in America. Most people buy smartwatches or these wristband devices for fitness, but in the rest of the world, especially in Asia, people buy smartwatches for payment in subways, in transportation, at the Starbucks, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm also here to evangelize wearables here in the Pacific Northwest, because we have along the West Coast of the United States, we have three of the top transportation networks. We have Sound Transit in Seattle. We have TriMet in Portland. And we have the Clipper organization down, BART, down in San Francisco. All of these transit of those associations are just primed to use wearables. And my job is to evangelize wearables for the subway transit sectors here on the West Coast.
Well, that's great. And thank you so much, Carl, for educating not only myself, but all of our listeners here today about this technology that's, like you said, around the world, but yet not adopted here in America. But let's remind our listeners again how they can get in touch with you or your organization.
Yes, you can reach me by calling my mobile, which is 425-260-4378. That's my mobile here. And you can also reach me on my public speaking email address, which is K-A-R-L-J-W-E-A-V-E-R, carljweaver@gmail.com. I take all communications and be very happy to chat with anybody. I love to evangelize technologies because, well, that's just one of the things I do.
Well, thank you so much, Carl, for taking the time out to speak with us here today. It's been very insightful and informative, and we look forward to speaking with you again on down the line.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Yes. And listeners, thank you for joining us. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, or your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. On behalf of Stone Payton and Lee Cantor and the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Until we talk again on the radio.